Next item is discussion consideration of board action, or I should say possible board action, to compel Supervisor Olson to comply with County Attorney's July 11, 2017 recommendation regarding individual meetings with county employees. So let's just talk just a minute about how this got to us. So back in July, when we were having a whole bunch of issues, there was some advice given to us by the county attorney, and one of those pieces of advice was that Loris, you not put yourself or the county in a position to meet with staff alone. At that point, without putting a timeline on it, you agreed. I think it was me who said, Loris, I'm fine if the board has to take action to try to get this done, but it would be better if you would just commit to it on your own. At that point, you did. We found out later, a month or so ago, that in fact you had decided that you weren't going to comply with that anymore. My understanding is that as of today, you are voluntarily complying with it again. But I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to talk about this. And it's not, so I don't even believe that I believe the board has authority to take any action it deems necessary, but I don't recognize any kind of enforcement provision of how the board might enforce that if the board decided to take action and you decided to disregard it. There is no real enforcement mechanism, but for me, the importance of the conversation is twofold. One, it should be entirely about protecting the county wherever possible from legal jeopardy. And I believe that if we take the step of formally adopting the county attorney's advice, that we're showing that the county's trying to take that advice. Secondly, I think it underscores for our employees that if they're uncomfortable, the board is standing with them. So this has continued on. I hate that we're having this conversation now, but I wish you'd have stuck with what you told us you were going to do in July. So I understand that you have your legal counsel here, Fred Fehlmeyer. I think we'll start with our county attorney and just make sure that the advice that was given us July 11, 2017 is current advice, and have you amended it? And specifically, Jessica, while I appreciate the 5 or 8 page memo with all the different points, I'm really talking about the 7th issue, which advised Supervisor Olson to not find herself alone with our staff.
Well, good morning to the Board of Supervisors. For the record, I'm Jessica Reynolds, the Story County Attorney. And yes, that is that July 11th advice regarding Ms. Olson meeting with county employees does continue to be my legal advice to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, and is there a timeline on that? Is there, what is the board looking at in terms of that advice?
There's not a timeline on that, and that's intentional. Really, this is a legal issue, and the legal issue is once the county is made aware of concerns by our employees, we're put on notice. And my advice is intended to protect the county from any future legal issues we could encounter. The advice I gave in July has, when it was implemented voluntarily, has worked very well. We've had no practical issues. I've let Ms. Olson know that if she has anything that arises that causes an issue, to just let me know and we'll work through those on an individual basis. And we haven't had anything like that. So the county is in better legal stead at this point in time if my advice is heeded. However, I just wanted to make sure to let the board know that at any time you can decide not to take my advice. That's my advice made in the best interest of Story County for any future litigation employment-wise that we would encounter.
Okay, and talk to me. So I gave my layperson's assessment of Board of Supervisors' ability to take an action like this, but our inability to really have an enforcement mechanism. Can you, from a legal perspective, first of all, is that accurate? And if it is, just talk us through how all that fits together.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the Board of Supervisors has broad authority under 331.301 sub 1. So you would be able to take action to adopt my legal advice regarding this matter. However, that would not bind Ms. Olson to have to accept my legal advice. She would still be able to disregard it, and there would be no enforcement mechanism. So let's say the board would take action to say that she should meet with an employee with a witness, there would not be anything that you could do to her if she failed to follow that official action. Legally, though, it would be the entity taking a stand publicly and saying, you know, we were put on notice about issues, and this is our response. And that could prove to be valuable at a future point should we get into litigation.
So, because the entity, Story County's stance has to be, in any situation, I'm not even referring directly to this situation, in any situation is, as we were aware of an issue, we took every reasonable step we could take to handle the issue, and that's helpful to us from a legal perspective?
Correct. And, you know, counties in Iowa have found themselves in concerning situations employment-wise. Recently, a 2013 case is Farmer versus Floyd County, Iowa. That's a case where an elected official was alleged to have engaged in harassment of county employees. And what happened in that case was the employee sued the county, not the elected official, and the county ended up having liability. In summary judgment, the county argued that since this was an elected official, they have their own authority and the county couldn't do anything. And what the court found was that's not the case, that the county has a duty and an obligation to intervene. And in that case, it went to jury trial, and the jury awarded $82,000 against the county. So I'm looking to separate the county legally from any future claims and protect the county from any type of liability. And so in that Farmer case, it would have been nice if their board had taken some sort of official action prior to getting into litigation.
Okay. Questions for Jessica, either of you?
Let me say this in the plainest of terms. So not taking your advice, this would open the county to a possible legal recrimination if anything else should arise.
You always have the option not to take my advice. I'm giving my advice in the best interest of the county should we encounter future litigation. I feel that an official adoption of that advice would assist the county in future litigation should we get into employment litigation.
So this, just by a simple vote today on this resolution, would give us a firewall of sorts?
That would be my argument in future litigation.
And by not taking this, so we would still, we would be, as you just described, leaving ourselves with, well, we acknowledged something, an issue, and had previously addressed it, but we have chosen not to take action to remediate it. That's not in our favor. I think I asked an easy question to answer.
If I need to argue this issue later on, I would be grateful for board action at this time.
Okay, more questions?
A statement.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to assure the Board of Supervisors, the County Attorney, and especially each and every county employee that I have no interest in causing any county employee anxiety, harm, or embarrassment in public or in private. I am vested in creating a positive, productive working environment. I will not, however, abdicate my duties or give up my rights as a duly elected county supervisor or as a unique human being while serving Story County. I intend to perform my duties, and to do that, I will continue seeking information, asking questions, identifying problems, and seeking solutions. I will continue to analyze, observe, provide input, conduct oversight, and fully participate in the county's governance. I want to commend County Attorney Reynolds for trying to pursue the best interest of Story County. I share her concern for being risk-averse when it comes to protecting the county and the individual members of the Board of Supervisors. This is why I've complied with her advice for 6 months. But after 6 months of voluntarily complying with the substance of the recommendation, I believe the recommendation is, and I'm going to use the word problematic, a word that I've heard County Attorney Reynolds use before. After careful consideration with legal counsel, I plan to resume my duties fully and in consultation with the county attorney. My attorney is prepared to outline my legal positions, but it may be summarized very simply in 3 points. First, I am an equal member of this board. But as you know, none of us has the power to act alone or to bind this board or the county in the absence of a meeting. Therefore, the suggestion that I alone possess any authority to fire, to change the terms of employment, change the salary of, or otherwise discriminate against any employee is not an accurate statement of the law. Second, I have never discriminated against any county employee or done anything other than express my opinions as an elected supervisor. And the idea that, as a woman and a person over 40, that I have ever or would have caused harm to another member of my protected classes is as false as it is in the terms that we have identified it ridiculous. Third, this board simply has no authority to order one of its own members not to carry out or to place limits upon that member's duties. I want to concentrate on other aspects of the recommendation. First, as it's noted, the recommendation had no expiration date. Agreeing to adhere to the recommendation for the length of my elected service places permanent restrictions on my free access to employees and the information they possess in all of the forms and time frames available to you, the other two supervisors. It also permanently restricts employees from having free and unfettered access to me per Story County's open door policy. Second, the recommendation covers all county employees and could presumably even include all other elected officials in all interactions, scheduled and unscheduled, that I would have related to the county and or its operations. Yet, it is my understanding that the county attorney's concerns have only included a few vocal employees. In the 12 months that I've held office, I have had many productive, successful, and uneventful work-related conversations and interactions with county employees. There is no reason that this will not continue. No individual member of the Board of Supervisors can hire, fire, or change the scope of duties of an employee that works under the board. None of the supervisors alone has authority to affect employment of, or for that matter, give direction to county employees. My deficiencies have been discussed here publicly at this board table more than any of us cares to recall. I am who I am, and I was elected to do this job. I will work to do so in a professional manner and deal with employees within the existing policies of the county. County Attorney Reynolds and I are still exploring how this will be done. During the months of January and February, I will voluntarily follow her recommendation, carefully documenting my experiences and consulting with her as modifications are needed. And then we take it from there. I want to thank you for the opportunity to make this statement. My attorney has, as I noted, his legal assessment here. It includes some other items. So, Frank, did you want to come up and talk about County Attorney Reynolds' suggestions related to that right now?
Yeah, well, Frank walks up, appreciate you being here, Mr. Fieldmeyer. I'll just say this. I appreciate your statement, Morris. And if we were just worried about the times that you behaved appropriately, it'd be no problem. Because there are a lot of those. It's the times that you haven't. And the reality is that there are multiple concerns from multiple employees, not that necessarily that you were going to fire them or change their pay or anything that you enumerate, but that you create a hostile work environment. You said it yourself last week. You don't believe in please and thank you. You don't believe in the niceties that I believe go with everyday society. And that's fine. You have the right to your personality, but it is this board's responsibility to legally protect Story County wherever we can. If we need to not separate you from information or try to reduce any of your duty, because I haven't heard anything that suggested we would try to do any of that, but simply that we protect you and our employees from those moments that aren't so good. Mr. Fieldmeyer.
Thank you. My name for the record is Frank Fieldmeyer. My business address is at 323 6th Street in Ames, Iowa. I've been asked by Supervisor Olson to come today to represent her in this matter and to express to the board her feelings about the restriction in her role as a supervisor. I have a letter which I will deliver to you following my statement, but basically I will read parts of that to you. And what it says is that, and Supervisor Olson has touched on a couple of these things already, but as you're aware, she's an elected supervisor and is an equal member of the Board of Supervisors and holds the same certificate of election as the other two supervisors. We trust that the other two supervisors agree with this and that she has the same rights and duties as the other supervisors.
Yeah, Frank, Marty, you don't disagree with that. I completely agree with that, and we've lived by that over the last year.
Further, we believe that it's been discussed here that it's an indisputable legal principle that the Board of Supervisors as a whole, acting together at a duly and properly noticed meeting, is the only way that any board authority is going to be exercised. The corollary and equally indisputable principle is that no single supervisor can bind the county.
Frank, let me just ask you a question right there. When you say that, are you suggesting that no one supervisor could create a hostile work environment? Because I think it's two entirely different things.
If you'll allow me to finish my
statement. Sure, I'd like to hear your assessment of that.
I hope the supervisors all agree with those legal principles that I've outlined. I think that the county attorney has advise the supervisors of these principles, and hopefully everybody is in agreement with them. The board is well aware of the incident that occurred in June between Supervisor Olson and one of the county employees. Supervisor Olson believes that has been finally resolved and is closed. Following that incident, and based on nothing more than whispers in the county attorney's ear from an attorney representing that person, and miscellaneous calls to her office, she has now, out of what she calls an abundance of caution, advised that there be a witness to all the interactions by Supervisor Olson and other county employees. Supervisor Olson is, as she said, who she is, and there is nothing that this board can do to restrict her character, her ability to communicate with other employees, and she absolutely denies that there's been any discrimination or a hostile work environment created by her. Is it possible that anyone could create a hostile relationship? Certainly, that's possible. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it is completely and totally false that she has ever done that.
And based on what, Frank?
You know this how, Frank?
Yeah.
Based on what my client has discussed with me.
Okay. So Laura says she didn't do it, therefore it's absolutely impossible that it happened.
I'm not going to litigate the issues of...
Make a definitive statement. I think you should have at least defend it.
I'm not going to relitigate the issues of dealing with the particular employee that was involved. All right?
Employees. One that you know of. Employees.
I'm not going to relitigate those things. The issue is whether she is rightfully restricted in her duties as a supervisor. And I think that you have already admitted that this is not something that this board can do.
No, that's not what I said, Frank. That's not even close to what I said. This board absolutely has the authority to do this. We don't have the authority to enforce it if she chooses to disregard the legal advice, but then you're going to earn your money.
As you know, it is literally impossible for her to fire, to terminate, change the terms of employment, change the duties of employment of any county employee, and really to retaliate or otherwise discriminate in any way against any of the county employees. She cannot do that alone. With due respect to the opinion of the county attorney, neither the county nor its board of supervisors has any plausible potential legal liability for the possibility that one supervisor acting on her own could potentially discriminate against one employee. It just is not possible.
Jessica, what case did you do? Was it Floyd County that you just quoted where a county got sued based on the actions of one supervisor?
It is, and I'm happy to respond to that. I think it's really important. I appreciate Mr. Fielmeyer being here, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I understand that his role is to represent Ms. Olson in her individual capacity. And, of course, my role is to represent the Board of Supervisors as the legal entity. So I appreciate that distinction, and I don't take anything personally that he's saying. I disagree with the idea that one supervisor couldn't discriminate or retaliate. But again, that's in my role as the county's attorney, and I understand the distinction. So I hope the board does too. Does that make sense?
Sure. I have a question for you, Jessica. So Mr. Friermeier said that your entire advice is based on whispers in your ear and miscellaneous calls to your office. Is that what your advice is based on?
It's not, and like Mr. Fielmeyer, I'm not gonna litigate. You know, we're not in a courtroom, so I'm not gonna present evidence and litigate the issues. But I have substantial information for my advice. Some of it has been public, and some of it isn't. And I stand firmly by it.
Super. And then one last piece of advice I'd ask you for. So the accusation is getting made here that somehow this board is trying to limit Supervisor Olson's role or authority as a duly elected member of the board. Do you see anything in the, eight pages of whatever, that limits her role or authority, or is it all simply to try to protect the county while she performs her duties in that role with that authority?
There's absolutely nothing that limits her role or authority.
Mr. Fielmeyer made a statement that said that the issue with the single employee that really caused this to move was legally ended or done. Is that your belief? Is there, as she has retained counsel, is there a time frame, or do you see that as being over, as is stated?
I do not believe that to be over.
So we do have some liability there. Potential.
Correct.
Mr. Fielmeyer, you're a resident of Stark County.
Yes, sir.
Would you not expect this board or any other board to act in on behalf of the government that it leads and the citizens that reside within to do everything to minimize any legal exposure that is aware of?
Supervisor Chitty, I think that this board has its duties under law to protect the county. You and I are both aware of that. I am here today to represent Supervisor Olson, and I am here today to convey to you in the strongest terms possible that any action taken by this board to compel her to limit her access to county employees is simply not supported by law, is unenforceable, and furthermore, I very strongly disagree, and I know that Supervisor Olson very strongly disagrees, that the imposition of a witness requirement with all employees makes it extremely difficult to carry out her duties. And if you seek to impose this upon her, that it will continue to restrict her ability to gather information and carry out her role. And it is something that, if the roles were reversed, you would very much be opposed to. What we have here are county employees who have made comments about having concerns, but we have no formal action taken. And these concerns really, at their base, are about complaints about her character and how she has communicated with them. And it is completely unfair.
She is not
in a position to retaliate against employees.
Well, that is illegal, and I'm not going to go delve into the personal, but I think we find ourselves having a conversation about a world not of this board's making, in the sense that Rick and I didn't do anything. And so we find ourselves, through our county attorney, trying to mitigate any exposure, as I see it, to the county as a whole going forward. Your county attorney just told you she believes that we have a potential legal involvement open, and that I think, as somebody that operates on behalf of the county as a whole, I think I have to be mindful of my attorney's advice, because it does not, both that it represents me as an individual supervisor, but me as a board member. So you told me nothing here that has swayed her opinion, as I'll ask her again if she would like to reiterate it. I thank you for your narrative, but I'm going to listen to wise counsel.
Yeah, so first of all, Frank, I want to just tell you how much I appreciate you being here today on Loris's behalf and making sure that this board fully considers everything. When you say things like it's just a claim from an employee and nothing more than that, I'd have to dispute that. So that one of our employees felt so in jeopardy by the actions of Loris Olson that she went into her own pocket to hire an attorney to come represent her, that to me is not anywhere close to the action. You wouldn't be here today if Supervisor Olson didn't feel the need to have you here today. An employee sure would not go into their pocket to hire their own legal counsel to be here on just a, what you characterize as some kind of baseless claim. I appreciate you representing Supervisor Olson, and you're doing a good job. It's our job. I would imagine, as you represent the cities that you're city attorney for, if roles were reversed, you'd be offering just the opposite advice to whatever city council you were representing, saying you got to take care of the city's legal interests first. But thank you very much for being here today. Jesse, anything else for us before we consider this?
Well, I just want to make it clear that I do have concerns from a legal perspective for the entity Story County from Supervisor Olson's actions, and I believe that the requirement of a witness of county employees is in the best interest of the entity of Story County. Thank you for your consideration of my advice.
Absolutely. Frank, anything else?
I'd like to respond just briefly to what Supervisor Chitty asked, and that is, I'm here again to represent Supervisor Olson and her feelings about the restrictions placed upon her. And while I disagree with the legal advice that you have been given by the county attorney, and as you have noted, And as she has noted, that advice has not changed here today. But there is nothing that the law would require this board to take any action against one of its members, because the county attorney's advice is what it is. You've received it. You've mulled it over here in this boardroom multiple times. As you've noted, it has not changed. So there is absolutely no legal requirement that you, as a board, take action on it. It is not going to change.
But what does change, Frank, is the actions of the entity that is the legal entity of the county. And we go all the way back to July when this was produced. I sat right in this chair, and I said right to Supervisor Olson, Supervisor Olson, the board can take action on this advice if we need to, but it would be better for all concerned if you would just commit to adhere to that advice. And Moore sat there and committed to adhering to that advice and then didn't live up to that commitment. Now she's telling us that she'll kind of commit for X amount of time, and I don't believe that that protects the county. Yes, we've got great legal advice from our county attorney. That's not going to change. But what can change is, what does the Board of Supervisors, in its role as the entity that is the county, what action does it take with that advice, and how does it try to mitigate any legal responsibility of the county? And I mean, I think you're a pretty good lawyer. I mean, the times I've been around you, I've watched you. You're doing a great job representing Supervisor Olson's interests. I just ask you to think, if you were in the other role, I think you'd be advising exactly the same thing Jessica Reynolds is. And it's the appropriate thing, in my view, for the county to take the step of saying, it's important to us that all sides, Loris included, be protected in this. It's important that we not restrict you from information. Loris, you had a phenomenal meeting with Mike Cox the other day. Now, Alyssa Wignall sat in that meeting with you, but as I understand it from Mike and Alyssa both, it was a great meeting with Mike where you got lots of information. I don't view that this is necessarily, depends on how you choose to deal with it, that this necessarily restricts you from anything. I made the commitment to you last week. Mm-hmm. That it is of utmost importance that you have access to 100% of the information in real time, and if there's ever a point that you're not getting that, that we need to talk about it as a board. I said that to you. I know you remember that I said that to you. I'm committed to that, but I'm more committed to protecting the legal interests of Story County and protecting our employees from a hostile work environment.
What I'm going to respond here is once again emphasize that County Attorney Reynolds and I just talked on Friday, twice, in fact, on Friday, about, you know, going for the next 2 months to see what does this look like in real time? You know, what does this really mean as far as how do we voluntarily continue this, okay, and as various scenarios arise? So I want to emphasize that what is here and we're discussing is holding me to this for, in some kind of compelling fashion, passing something that says compel, to do this, setting up a more adversarial situation than we believe is necessary at the time. I think, is that, Frank, a comfortable statement?
I think there are multiple issues here, but one of which is that there is just, it is unfair and unreasonable to impose a permanent restriction upon Supervisor Olson.
This is our organizational meeting for 2018, Frank. This is where we establish things for 2018. I don't view anything that we do here with the note that this board, if Loris chooses to disregard county attorney's advice, or if there's any board action that Supervisor Olson chooses to disregard, there's no enforcement mechanism that we have in our arsenal to handle something like this, but we can handle it through public conversations. We can handle it through board action, and I believe, and I think you've heard our county attorney say, that if and when that lawsuit comes because of inappropriate behavior, that it puts the county in as favorable position as we can possibly be in, and that's exactly the Board of Supervisors' role.
I would challenge the statement that the passage of a motion here today to compel Supervisor Olson changes the legal position of the county one iota.
If I may, so I will say that if I were representing an individual or a supervisor in their personal capacity, I wouldn't want action by the entity because that's a potential separation of their individual role if they would continue in that behavior from the entity's role. And in fairness, that would be the argument that I'd be making if we were in litigation, which would be the entity passed a motion, passed this advice and took a stance on it, and that separated the individual from not complying with that advice. And so I completely understand the disagreement that an individual attorney would have. I stand by the fact that it would be a difference for us going forward legally.
Anything else for us before we consider what, if any, action we're going to take here? Frank, anything further?
I can only go by what was placed on the agenda,
yep.
And that was action to compel the Supervisor Olson to comply with county attorney's recommendation.
Yep.
There's no end date. I haven't heard, and Supervisor Olson hasn't heard what motion may come out of this agenda item. But again, I don't believe that legally, once you've received your attorney's advice, which you have, that passing any motion here today is going to change the position of the county liability-wise at all.
Yeah, and I'm sure you won't be offended when I take my county attorney's advice over your advice in that regard when they differ. All right, so let's get to a motion for discussion, because Frank's right, we need to know exactly what we're considering. And so my thoughts here, County Attorney Reynolds, are that the board could consider some kind of action requesting that Supervisor Olson adhere to the advice of the county attorney in this regard, meeting with staff, with a witness present, at all times for calendar year 2018. Do you think a motion like that would fit within what we're talking about today?
Yes, I do.
I'll make the motion, Marty, while it's outside of the norm of the way we operate. So I'll move that the Board of Supervisors request that Supervisor Olson adhere to point number 7 in the July 11th advice from the county attorney and only meet with employees with a witness present for calendar year 2018.
Frank, we're not having a meeting talking about something that involved feelings. We're talking about things that involve actions. There was some research and discovery done as it became aware to us, leading to the meeting that we had, to the resolutions that we had, the adoption. Now we find ourselves 6 months later, and I think on a going forward basis, I find myself waking up to 2018 and a little bit of time of hashtag me too. And I shudder to think if it were Rick and I having multiple accusations by women employees of the county, I think I'd already been burned in effigy, and I think the torches and the pitchforks would have been out. So I think you need to take into account and not be dismissive of the fact that you have people that are aggrieved through behaviors that were done. I do, and I ask is that you join me. Now, we may disagree on particulars, but with the motion before us, I find, unfortunately, in a position where I will second it.
I have a question for County Attorney Reynolds.
And so we've got a motion and a second. We're in discussion. Go ahead, Loris.
Is there any allegation, Supervisor Chitty relayed, talked about hashtag, is there any allegation that I have done anything of a sexual nature to anyone?
None. No allegation.
Thank you.
I didn't take more statement than that. I mean, so what we're talking about here, Loris, is the atmosphere that you've created with multiple employees. That's what we're talking about, and that's why we're asking. I don't want the county to be, I don't want you to be in this he said, she said thing, and it just makes the most sense that you would have a witness present. Like we just talked about, your meeting with Mike Cox was phenomenal. I don't believe there was any information you would have gotten from Mike that you weren't able to get with Alyssa present. Yeah, it's going to take a little of Alyssa or Noel or whoever we're able to pull in when you want to meet with somebody. It's going to take a little of their time. But in the long run, from my view, it's best for you. It's best for the county. It allows you to do what you do. But there'll never be an issue where somebody claims something without some kind of witness who can verify it. So your chance to speak to this before we vote on the motion.
I made my statement.
Okay. Anything further before we vote?
None.
Okay. Sanders, aye. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Abstain.
It passes 2-1 abstention, and that is, Loris, we're asking you to comply with the county attorney's advice for calendar year 2018. Thank you, everybody. No agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything. We can't take any action at this point because it's not on the agenda, and that would violate the Iowa Open Meetings Law, but we might take action in the future. Anybody wishing to address us on any topic? Linda thought about it and then decided against it. Liaison assignments.
It's been a long meeting.
Marty, liaison assignments. Anything new over New Year's?
Nothing. Looking forward to, we got some city councils and city school meetings. Other than that, just the usual, I'm glad to see that we took the time to keep our May assignments, because the thing is, the experience you derive in a year allows you to serve in a more robust way, as you've already accrued some knowledge. So thank you to both of my partners here for voting the way we did that path.
Absolutely. Loris.
I just will be attending the asset hearings as an observer, just to pick up information about the agencies. Done that many times. As our Director of External Operations is smiling and nodding, okay? So also I will be in Fort Dodge on Friday, continuing to assist Community and Family Resources as they look for a new marketing manager. And looking forward to starting our budget discussion meetings on January 8th.
That's my favorite time of year. Let's see. So, Loris, earlier in the meeting, you handed out something that you want to get on a future agenda, proposed principles of operation. Again, you know, my view that was pretty laid out in Iowa Code 331, but that'll be an interesting topic. Something else that you brought up twice, including last week, is some kind of vague allegation that Marty and I have done something wrong. You promised, in fact, last week that you would have something on this week's agenda. I know you've done an open records request to get information, trying to find something that Marty and I have done wrong. Loris, it's time to not be vague. If there's something specific that you want to bring forward and have us talk about, let's talk about it. Otherwise, it's time for you to just say, no, don't really have anything. Let's move on.
And I have, last week, to talk to County Attorney Reynolds about two situations that I had some questions about. And by the way, it's not Marty, so I'd have to go back and listen to the audio if I implied that it was Marty in these two situations, and it has to do with direction of staff. Without board approval, okay? And so it's my understanding that the open records request is available now, or was supposed to be available to now, okay, for me to check my records on the one, and the other is a verbal, and Trini Reynolds, I think, has reached out to both employees to solicit their memories of it. So that's where I am. So to put it on the agenda today before I have all the information would have not been
okay. And when it comes back and there's nothing there, are you going to apologize for the vague accusations that you make that are unfounded?
Well, I certainly am going to go back and look. I started with a list of 10. Okay, and I narrowed down to these two because of some very specific recollections. So I'll go back and I'll check, and then yes, if I have determined, I've also in the conversation, let me finish the sentence before I go to another one, okay, to make sure that in fact I have determined that what I believed was happening actually happened. If it didn't happen, then I will admit that it didn't happen as I perceived it to happen, which I think is you looking for a confirmation of nothing wrong and moving on.
I'm tired of the vagueness, right? So make a specific allegation and back it up with facts or knock off the vague allegations. That's what I'm looking for.
So returning to my conversation Friday with County Attorney Reynolds and conveying to her a couple pieces of information in related to conversations, we did discuss about where she considers instruction to staff at being different than, or at least what happened, not rising to the level of what I thought I was looking for. Is that how you recap the conversation? Because I don't want to misquote you. Okay, so
to clarify, on Friday, Ms. Olson called me with two allegations against Supervisor Sanders. The first allegation involved a staff member where Ms. Olson said that the staff member had reported something. Ms. Olson and I followed up with that staff member in writing, and the staff member did not remember saying that. So there was a factual dispute, and
so we're down to one?
There was no wrongdoing.
Down to one.
The second issue actually was resolved this morning in a similar fashion. My understanding of the allegation was that Ms. Olson thought that telling an employee to put something on the agenda for the board consideration was not proper, but that would be proper to tell people to put things on the agenda for board discussion and consideration. They're resolved from my
Their resolve from her point of view, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
It was helpful to have that conversation. But I still want to go back and review because I'm seeking information. I'm seeking to determine about where the difference is and for me to absorb this so we can have a better 2018.
Love it.
To figure out where is it when I believe I've seen some instances where a supervisor has given instruction to a staff member that either was of concern to the staff member, or maybe is that it felt like the staff member was, well, I don't know if I'm ready to put this on the agenda, or I don't know if this is what I'm best at doing. So when there are those situations, I want to figure out in my mind exactly where is the line being drawn about being how to interact with staff. About when at what point is it appropriate to ask a staff member as a supervisor, because even an ask is really a direction.
No, it's not.
I disagree.
Okay, so there's right there, there's a difference.
Well, yeah. And you and I had that discussion.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Right.
I'm going to take Jessica's legal opinion over yours.
That's fine. Okay. So anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so the really interesting thing, because I've seen the open records request that came to us this morning, the interesting thing, the two items that you picked out, one of them I had absolutely nothing to do with at all, ever.
Right.
I mean, you went out and met with the person. You're the one who put it on the agenda, and somehow you wanted to spin that into I did something. The second one was simply a grant request that I asked Margaret to put something on the agenda for us. And let's just be really clear. Us asking staff to put some, any of us, asking staff to put some on the agenda is completely appropriate. It's our agenda. Okay. Anything further? If not, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.